That old school bell tells us that it is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today we're going to have a special feature. I'm going to read something that I had written. In fact, this was published in a publication called the Carolina Messenger. Now, this is published in North Carolina. In fact, it's in South Carolina. In fact, in Columbia, South Carolina. And it goes throughout the Carolinas and the other places around the country. The editor for this publication actually lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. His name is John Mitchell, and he is the preacher at the Church of Christ at East Main in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He was the editor of this paper when he was living in South Carolina, and when he moved to Georgia and then to Tennessee, the committee that oversees this paper, the board of directors, asked him to continue on as the editor. And so though he lives in Murfreesboro, he continues to be the editor of the Carolina Messenger. He asked me if I would write an article on the 106th Psalm. And that's what I'm glad to do. And here's how it was written when it was published in the January-February issue for 2023. Psalm 106 is one of the 15 Hallelujah Psalms. These are the psalms that have in them that ancient Hebrew word. In the King James Version, Hallelujah is translated, Praise ye the Lord. It is a call to worship. The beginning and the end of this psalm was sung when David brought the Ark of God into Jerusalem. You can compare Psalm 106 in verse 1, in verses 47 through 48, with 1 Chronicles 16, 34 through 36. Parts of Psalm 105 were sung at that time. Psalm 105 is about the faithfulness of God. But Psalm 106 is about the unfaithfulness of man. If Psalm 105 can be thought of as a national anthem, then Psalm 106 can be thought of as a national confession. The key verse of Psalm 106 is verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. These very words are spoken by Daniel in his prayer to God for the sins of his people in his time in Daniel 9 in verse 5. We would be wise to learn to incorporate words from the Psalms into our own prayers. In 1 Corinthians 10 verses 5 through 12, Paul recalls the sins of Israel to warn the saints in Corinth against falling back into their sin. This psalmist also recalls the sins of Israel, but he does so to show that God is merciful. The psalm begins on a high note. Hallelujah! He then gets right into his subject. His mercy endureth forever. He lauds God for his mighty acts, his goodness, and his blessings for toward those who keep judgment and doeth righteousness. His prayer is to be remembered and to be part of those who rejoice in God's salvation. In Psalm 106 and verse 6, he makes his confession. He does not say, mistakes were made, or if I have offended anyone. He did not make excuses or try to shift the blame to others. He said, we have sinned with our fathers, committed iniquity, done wickedly. In Psalm 106 and verse 7, he begins to recount the sins of the fathers. He begins with how they provoked God at the Red Sea. Compare that to Exodus 14, 10 through 12. Nevertheless, God saved them, Psalm 106, 8 through 11. The psalmist writes, then believed they his words. They sang his praise, Psalm 106 and verse 12, but their praise did not last. They soon forgot his works, Psalm 106 and verse 13. They waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly, and they tempted God. Psalm 106:13-14. God gave them manna and quail. They fed their faces, but they did not feed their souls. Consider Psalm 106:15 in light of Deuteronomy 8:3. Here is where they were to learn, man shall not live by bread alone. Israel envied Moses and Aaron, Psalm 106:16-18. The earth opened, and a plague raged through them as a fire, Numbers 16. Israel ignored God when he said to them, thou shalt not make unto me any graven image, Exodus 20:4. And they turned to idolatry, Psalm 106:19-20. God would have destroyed them had there not Moses stood in the midst, in the breach, and turned his wrath, Psalm 106:21-23, and Exodus 32. When the spies returned from the promised land with their report, Israel believed not his words, but murmured in their tents, Psalm 106:24-25. Well, that generation died in the wilderness, Psalm 106:26-27. Compare that with what we read in Numbers 14. When the children of that generation arrived at the borders of the pleasant land, they joined themselves to Baal of Peor, ate the sacrifices of the dead, and provoked God to anger with their inventions. This is when Phinehas executed a judgment that was counted to him for righteousness for generations, Psalm 106:28-31, and compare that with what you read in Numbers 25. In the desert of Zin, they provoked Moses so that he spoke unadvisedly to bring water from the rock, Psalm 106:32-33. Compare that with Numbers 21-13. Note that word, unadvisedly. God had once told Moses to strike a rock that it may bring forth water, Exodus 17:1-7. But this time God told Moses to speak to the rock, Numbers 20:8. Moses said to the congregation, here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with a rod, and he smote the rock twice. God said, speak, but Moses smote. You read about this in Numbers 20:10-11. Moses added the old striking to his speaking. The Greek word solo means strike. God had once told Israel to solo, that is to strike, the harp. But now he tells us to solo strike the heart, Ephesians 5:19. God had once said to strike the instrument. Now God says to speak, Ephesians 5:19. God did not tell Moses not to strike the rock, and God does not tell us not to strike the strings of an instrument. But we would do well not to add the old striking to our singing, lest we sing unadvisedly. The children of Israel did not end in the wilderness. They did not destroy the nations, mingle among the heathen, learn their work, serve their idols, sacrifice their sons, shed innocent blood, defiled their own works, went a-whoring after their own inventions. Psalm 106:34-39. The psalmist tells us, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Psalm 106:43. Nevertheless, God remembered them and pitied them. Psalm 106:44-46. Indeed, his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 106:47, the psalmist makes his plea, save us, O Lord, our God. Like Israel, we have sinned. Psalm 106, verse 6. Can God forgive us? Oh, yes. Look how he forgave the fathers and showed mercy to Israel. His mercy still endureth forever. God sent his son to die as a propitiation that he might... Wait just a minute. Lost it in this article. Here it is, that he might save us. God sent his son to die as a propitiation that he might save us. Romans 3:23 through 24 and Romans 8:32. What this psalm teaches us about God should fill our hearts with humility for our sins and with gratitude toward God's mercy. The psalm ends with praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 106:48. That is to say, Hallelujah. Well, that's the article about that Hallelujah psalm from Psalm 106. And so, I'm reading that. I'm the preacher at Rock Cliff. And it's the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between Menville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we're usually doing in this school, and what we'll do for the rest of this week, is look at Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of 1926. And this is a special insert into this old Sunday school book that follows the Sunday school lesson for March 21st, 1926, in which Jesus asked the question, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And if David then call him Lord, how is he David's son? And then the one Pilate asked, What shall I do unto Jesus who is called Christ? So we ask the question, What shall we do with Jesus? Before I begin reading again from Elam's notes, note this. This is the 900th class and broadcast of the Warren County Radio Bible School. 915-minute programs we have done in the school, and we're going to continue on, and I hope we go way past 1,000. But let me read this paragraph, and we'll continue on with this before we run out of time today. Think of a poor and humble carpenter, of the despised pound of Nazareth, rejected by his race, with the mightiest political powers on earth against him, and which signed the sentence of the crucifixion, whose crucifixion was executed in the most shameful way in which Satan could invent, without money, without worldly prestige, doing as a falsifier and impostor that which Jesus did. After 1900 years have passed, and in the blaze of the greatest enlightenment of history, Jesus is still the greatest and increasing power of the world. As the moon reflects the light of the sun, every prison reform, home of protection for young, benevolent institution, hospital for the variously afflicted in body and mind, home for orphans and other decrepit ones, the cry of almost all nations against the butchery and other horrors of war, and for universal peace and every other advancement of civilization, is a reflection of the Sun of Righteousness, the gospel of Christ. Every letter of friendship and love, every recorded business transaction, every legal document of every legislative body in the world puts the date that gives us back to Jesus of Nazareth.